Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, for the worship, Lord, for all that you do for us. You are continually there for us. Just as you discipled your men, you are there for us. You're there for us right here and right now. That you open this word to our hearts. You would warm our hearts. You would strengthen our hearts. You'd give our hearts hope and peace and joy and contentment. We love you, Lord. We praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We left off on I guess you'd call it a tragic note. John the Baptist had lost his head there at verse 29. We're at Mark chapter 6. We'll be beginning at verse 30. His disciples had been sent out. They had been given power over unclean spirits. They were going about healing people. Jesus had given them the lowdown of what may happen, what may not happen, what can occur, where to go, who to hang around with, and what to do when you're told to hit the road. And, you know, that's the deal with being or belonging to Jesus Christ. You never know what's going to happen. You know, Jesus came to this earth, and it's like, I got to make myself known to people. And it didn't take him long. It didn't take him long. I mean, his whole life was a spectacle at times. You know, even their faith, even his hometown couldn't. They were disgusted. He was a stumbling block to them. And now he has sent them out. And then we closed with John the Baptist when the disciples had heard of this, came and took away his body and laid him in a tomb. Then in verse 30, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest the while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." The event that is going on here, you imagine them coming back. It hasn't been recorded previous that they cast any unclean spirits out or healed anyone. And now they're doing this. They've been given the power and the authority. They are now doing this. And he's like, you need to come back to a deserted place, get away. Use your Sabbath day. It may be a Monday or a Tuesday or whatever the Lord appoints for you. You and I need rest from ministry. It takes a toll on you. Even Jesus was weary and tired, and says that he even himself would get away, would go to a deserted place, rest a while. You may not think so. I was talking to my daughter Melissa last night. The job that I'm at, it takes a toll on me, and I have to pray. I need to be praying because it takes a toll on me. And nobody's exempt for that, doing work for the Lord. I don't care how big or small, because you have one adversary that desires to wear you out and discourage you and just take everything out that he can from you. It says, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. I could say that's almost too busy. If you don't have time to eat, it's like, So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And I'm going to stay here a little bit. Because one day, let's get out of here. Let's get away. We got to get away. And the people ran faster than they did and met up with him again. And it says that Jesus, when he came outside, a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them. And the verses that come, that follow is the proof that he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. You know, you go into any neighborhood, either here in Alabama, Peru, the Philippines, you know, along the post city or wherever you go, Manila. There's someone there that God has compassion for. And it's not just like it worked the heart of Jesus, the heart of God. And he says he had compassion. And the greatest thing that when you have compassion is you teach someone. You teach someone. I'm thankful for the United Way. I'm thankful for all these places that give things and help people and dig wells and take food and all that. But it's those that take the gospel have the greatest compassion, the greatest power, the greatest commission that is being poured out. That is the gospel. It is great to give shoes. It is great to clothe people. It is great to feed people. But along with that, and be it that you have taught someone about Jesus Christ, that is compassion, to share the gospel. And that's where, one, the church is built on, sharing the gospel. It is the foundation of every church, sharing the gospel. And that foundation is compassion from Jesus Christ. If, you know, if Jesus were to come in here and looks on you with compassion, looks on me with compassion, that my heart be shepherded, that I have a shepherd, that I have someone that is teaching me the word in love and grace and compassion and mercy and telling me the truth in love. And I've told you, not the belt buckle, not the belt. He speaks the truth to you and I. Compassion. And he doesn't leave anything out. He doesn't skip a verse that may hurt you or offend you. Or he doesn't do that. Paul said, I have given you the whole counsel of God. Not just whatever you like and it's comfortable. But he says that it says here that he taught them. What is he teaching? The things about the kingdom, the things about Jesus Christ. How he came to earth. The things in the Old Testament, in the law, and about the prophets. And he shared the teachings with those. And even if we, as we see as those that his apostles now, it says both what they had done and what they had taught, they also were teaching. They were doing what their example, Jesus Christ, was doing among the people. Now he is being duplicated. Healing. Casting out unclean spirits. The compassion that Jesus Christ has for this earth. And he says, remember when he left, I will not leave you orphans. He has everything covered. You and I need knowledge of him. How will we know? How will people know? How will the Philippines know? How will Peru know? How will Dothan know? Someone that will teach them. He says he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, This is a deserted place. And already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And you see the contrast between his men and the Lord. Send them away. And that's, you know, when I get tired, I've reached my limit. Goodbye to company. See you next time, wherever, you know. See you. And the Lord is like, you'll see in the following verses, there'll be none of that. They're like, we're here nowhere. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's a deserted place. There's nothing. They're hungry. The time is up. We're seeing the events from where, you know, I began to teach and previously and throughout all the Gospels. You see the heart of Jesus Christ. He is teaching his men. He is teaching the multitudes. He's giving power to his men. They reach circumstances in every one of those are teaching moments. And then, you know, you can look at commentaries and they'll tell you this aspect and this view and all that. But look at it and read it and let the Lord speak to you and what he's trying to say to you. Where here the disciples are saying, this is a deserted place. Let's hang it up, shut it down. There's nothing else. And the mind of Jesus is not that way. There's one more soul to be saved. There's one more teaching to be done. Paul says, I will spend myself for you. I will be spent for you to the very last breath or you know, the strength is gone from me. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, I don't want to get all... Never mind, I won't go there. But many use this verse and, you know, start screaming and they command you more food or whatever. But he says, you give them something to eat. It was an impossible thing for them. How are we going to do this? We're in the middle of nowhere. There's no 7-Elevens here. There's no Slurpee machines that we can get everybody hooked up, connected. But you give them something to eat. At times, what are we told to do that I don't know how we're going to do this? But it's going to happen. Because Jesus wants it to happen. And he puts that desire. And I see that a lot of times with my wife. It's like, this is going to happen. I'm going to make this thing happen for this kid, for this child, for my granddaughter. And it's like, it's done. It gets done. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? It's like, this is it. We look at the account, we look at what's left on the card. Should we go do this? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go check your inventory. Go look in the cupboard. Go look in the bags. And when they found out, they said, 5, which is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the grass. At least they could do that. You know, 50s. Sit on the grass. At least they could do that. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and fifties, and when he had taken the loaves, or the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. You're in the middle of all this. You're a disciple or an apostle. You're watching this. You have 5 loaves, 2 fish, And one man telling you, bring it to me. And he prays for it. And later on, as we read, not getting it. I don't know if I'm getting it or you're getting it. And not to say you're less spiritual or more spiritual. You see what just happened here, what is happening. It just happened that as Peter has instructed Mark to write this, so they all ate and were filled. And it says here then, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. And those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Many commentaries say it was about total 20,000 people. At least. Out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. What am I to get out of this? What am I to understand out of this? Other than seeing the power of God, the power of compassion for people. Not for notoriety, not for, it was the compassion that he had. These people are hurting. They're here to see me. I'm not going to be a jerk and just walk away and just, go find food for yourselves. Go fend for yourselves. Go away. That was the heart of the disciples. Send them away. And the heart of our Savior was like, gather what you got. We're going to feed these people. And they're going to be full. And this is not, they're not going to be belly aching after this. They're not going to be like when, the other people would go to Herod's parties and all that and get sick. These people ate and they were full and they were comforted. Because it was done in love and in compassion. Rather than hurry up and eat and we don't have enough for you. There's not enough for you. Go away. You had too much. You're not getting enough. It was here that what? So they all ate and were filled. Because of the compassion that he had. Not that he wanted numbers. Not that he wanted to be known in the paper. And some granny on Sunday morning would say, we want to thank such and such and such. And then, brother, and thank you very much. No. Guys, feed them. Sit him down in 50s. And the men, 5,000 men, families, moms, grandmas, kids, everybody that wanted to follow him. Were they there for the food? Were they there for... What was their motive of being there? Compassion attracts people. A compassionate God attracts people. A merciful God attracts people. Yes, there are some there with the motives of, whatever. I'm just here, I want healing, and I'm gone. Or I just want a free meal. They didn't even know they were getting a free meal because he just said, we're going to feed them. His disciples are like, what? We only have this much denarii. Verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent away the multitude. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. And he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. He has sent them out, get away. You know, they had a, wouldn't you call it, they had an awesome day. They fed at least 20,000. They've been out casting out unclean spirits, teaching the Word of God in fellowship with them, trying to find rest. Everywhere they're going, they're being followed. There was no free time. And he sends them away out on a boat into another trial. And then, you know, they have this, what is the wind? Or it says here the wind was against them. What is against you and I? It says here the wind was against them. And Jesus is watching all of this. He sees all these things happening to them. And he happens just to walk by. It is I. No. He says, first he says what? Be of good cheer. It is I. In the turmoil and all that, somebody tells you, be of good cheer. Will you please shut it? I can't. What? No. The Lord first tells you, will you chill out? Will you relax? Be of good cheer. It is I. Peter wrote, or Peter told Mark to write this. And Peter, in other Gospels, did what? He went out and walked on the water. But he did not make it known in his own, well, the book that Mark wrote, being, you know, told by Mark what to write. He didn't want people to know. That's the guy that walked on the water. If you were to read it here. Or that's the one that got all wet and sank. Oh, him. No, oh, show off. And he didn't. He didn't write about himself. I probably would have. And I walked and I was like floating. And everything was so awesome. You can do it too. And probably write another book on the side. No, Peter didn't want any glory. He didn't want that. He didn't write. He didn't include it in here. Be of good cheer. Who could use a word like that right now? Be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. The wind comes against them. They had just a great time. And now the wind is against them. And the previous time when Jesus was down below, they were screaming, help. And here now it's like, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. The psalmist said, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. This goes to us men. No, I'm not afraid of anything. Don't tell me I'm afraid. Satan comes around, little wind comes in. And the Lord has to come by. Be of good cheer. Will you relax? Will you stop being mean to people? Will you stop being grumpy and be of good cheer? It is I. They thought he was a ghost. They supposed they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It's like, hey, I need to talk to you guys. My boys are gone. They're losing it. Thank you, Jesus, for what kind of retreat do you have for us? You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're going to have a men's retreat. We're going out here, and then all of a sudden, this bears start to attack us at the campsite. You're like, help. You know, what kind of getaway are we having here? But that is the lifestyle almost of a Christian. You will have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. We want to find comfort on good old Mother Earth. We want to lay our pillow. We want no conflict. We want no headache, no pain. We want no sickness, no disease, nothing that would go wrong. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my life. Of course I wanted my pillow. I want to hug it in the morning. Work's calling me. I won't cut loose. And then when I get there, Satan's like, I'm right here. Or you prepare to go on a trip for the Lord. And Satan's right there at you, tapping at you, going at you, going at you. You go from one event to the next event to the next event. You see the wind coming, you see the waves coming at you. You can't go to the gym and work out and straighten that out. I'm sorry, you can't do that. Paul tells us you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, bow up on it. Well, no, you just say, Jesus, help me. Help me. Be of good cheer. It is I. You fight the good fight of faith. You go back to His Word. You surrender your heart to Him. I know there's 5,000 people here, and I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go do this anyway. I have 5 loaves that this little kid, and 2 fish, and you're going to pray for it, Lord, and we'll see what happens. I said there that he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. Invite the Lord to our winds, to our tornado, to our whatever has gone berserk in our life. And it said the wind ceased. How everything is calm around the Lord. Everything is just right. We walk away to sin. We walk away to things that preoccupy us. We walk away to the world. And we get all chaotic. Even in doing things for Him. Well, this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm in the will of God. That's where it's going to happen to you the most. And He gathers you and He pulls you in and He calms you down. That wind in your heart calms down. And that's where He desires to do. Because He still looks at us with compassion. This is not a God that you guys don't understand. You don't get it. You don't get this feeding of the 5,000. You don't get this feeding, this whole thing of the loaves. Your heart is hardened. You don't understand. You're not getting it, are you? He's not that way. After that, He didn't say, go away. You know, this is it. I've had my fill of you guys. This is it. You train men, you pour into their lives. And even Peter, the one that, you know, that Mark had wrote, denied Him. He had poured all those years into his life. Aren't you one of His? Aren't you one of His guys? And still Jesus did not turn His back on Him. It says, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. They were right there. They were helping Him pass the stuff out. They weren't understanding. And still the Lord was like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. How much compassion the Lord has had on me. Phil, what's this grace thing you're not getting? Why do you strive and want to do this and to do that, thinking it'll make you better or save you or give you a greater salvation? What aren't you understanding, Phil? And I look at that. Phil, why? I want you to have more compassion. I want you to be compassionate like me. I want you of a kind and gentle spirit. We read in Philippians. Let your gentleness be known to all men. A gentle spirit. Compassionate spirit. Now, I don't say that with rebuke. We see the men here. His own men. The ones he trained. Let's get out of here. We're done. Just send them on to the corner store, Big Lots. Just send them on to find a cheap snack out there. And then we're done. Let's go to that retreat you've been talking about, Jesus. Let's go. And he's like, well, wait a minute. They don't have a shepherd. Nobody's looking out for them. Nobody's fending for them. And there's wolves out there. And they will destroy these people. And he sits them down. Hey. Let me tell you about the Lord. Oh, it's late. Let me feed you. Let me give you food. Let me give you fish. Let me give you bread. And on top of that, they gather 12 baskets afterward. The disciples are like, what? One for all of us? To take home? The Lord is good. Our hearts sometimes, and the Bible tells us of our heart. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. What had hardened their heart? I couldn't tell. What hardens our heart? How far do I want to go with the Lord? I don't want my heart hardened. I don't want to get it. I don't understand it. Just send me home. I don't know about this Jesus stuff. I'm tired. I'm weary. And we get that way. And the Lord never gives up on us. And Satan will tell you, give it up. He's tired of you. You have a hard heart. You're horrible. Go away. Give me your keys back. Park the car. Just leave it out there until it rots. I'm done with you. And people want to treat you that way. The accuser of the brethren wants to treat you that way. I heard a great message this weekend. And it was like, you know, Satan's there. Really? You want to bless Joe? He's got a hardened heart. You want it for real? You know, our enemy would stand before Jesus and accuse us. Phil, if you knew about him, if you knew about Phil, Satan, our accuser, would say, he doesn't condemn us. He does not. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized them, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Look at the writer, what he is saying. There he is again. It says they were running. It says immediately And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized them, ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry out on beds. And as many as touched him were made well. Look at the nature of our Savior. The sight of him, the power that he still has in him. What do I do when I see him? Am I still asking him, heal me, provide for me, care for me? Or am I doing it on my own? It says they recognized him and they ran. They're just going by the nursing home and all the people are just pulling grandpa and grandma out and everybody's coming out. The sick, the maimed, the unclean, spirit-filled people. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him he might just touch the hem of his garment. It never ends. This work that Jesus began, and even as he that began that good work in you is faithful to complete it, will never end until you breathe your last breath. That our lives do his work with compassion and mercy. That I this year try and give mercy a try, give compassion a try, give grace a try. That he softened my heart even more and more and more. As I see the Lord in these few verses, that compassion come to my heart. Grace come to my heart. Mercy come to my heart. Now, I don't want to cheaply say, well, I'm not there yet, bro. I'm not. And that's not even what Paul said. You know, I've not attained yet. But I'm striving. I'm striving. Not all there yet. Have patience with me. Have mercy on me. That I may be, or have mercy, given to me. That I give out mercy. That I give out compassion. There's never been a man or anyone in history, or ever will be, like our Savior has been displayed in this small book right here, in this small chapter. And he continues on. There's never been a person like this. There's no one like him. We go to all these higher places of learning and all this stuff is just bombarded to us. Our Savior still lives and he still works. He is a servant. I'm sure you guys have heard the leadership pyramid. I'm sorry if I'm making gang signs or whatever. You know, the leader up here and it all here. Jesus just flipped that thing up. Jesus is the diaper changer. He's the janitor. He's the guy serving everyone. He girded himself with his disciples and washed their feet. He was there to heal. He was there to feed. He was there to serve all the men and the multitudes. And his motive was compassion. His motive was love. I've told you what my motive has been before. Here, let me do this while you take me. Don't you see the numbers? And we can go on and on. But his motive was, I love these people. I love humanity. These people, my creation is fallen. And I come to give them and show them grace and compassion. And to tell them I am a good and gracious God. Compassionate God. No. Send them home, Lord. I got to go to my Facebook and the pictures everybody got baptized and saved, and we got to tell everybody about that. It's like, we got another event to go to. We got to feed these people. We're going to get busy. Now, don't get me wrong. I have my addiction. I'm at the park feeding squirrels. Yeah, we all have our thing. But the Lord is like, man, I'm serious. And God brings us out of that. We're like, well, I don't do that Facebook stuff. I don't do that. I'm for real. No, the Bible says that they were all hardened of heart. He came to show us a different and a better way to run our lives. And from then on, humanity would never and is never would be never the same. It would change forever. Because no one has come to this earth, professor or prophet, has ever come to this earth and displayed to humanity the great love that he has for us. No one. No one can say, well, I love you, without it being based on the love that Jesus Christ has for humanity. And you can go into all the Greek types of love, eros, philo, and agape. That love that comes from Jesus Christ has no motive but to love you and care for you and feed you and cast unclean things out of you. And that's the example that he gives us. Thank you, Lord, for this chapter. Thank you for being good to us. Lord, that you would reach us, that you would reach our hearts, and you would touch every heart here that is hurting. Every heart that is waiting for you. Every heart that is seeking you. How good you are, Lord. The great example we see here of you. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.